Unbedding, unbedding, we're unbedding, baby. Unbedding. We're on a journey, baby. Unbedding. We're unbedding, baby. Unbedding. We're unbedding.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Unbedding. I'm Jessica Presley.
And I'm Dana Pereira.
Dana, it's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks. We are finally back, and I have missed it so much.
We didn't even give a warning that we were not going to be. I mean, we knew.
We knew.
But we didn't tell anybody. Not for any particular reason, I guess. Maybe we just forgot. I don't know.
I think that we just kind of forgot. I think also we thought it would be 1 week, but then it'd be 2 weeks.
And then it ended up being 3 weeks.
Oh, has it been 3 weeks?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the third week. But I had a surgery and then I was laid up for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I ended up with like a fever and thought that I had an infection. It turns out I just have kids.
Yes. Those little germ monsters. They're bringing home all the yucks.
Yeah. Especially whenever you have just like your body has just gone through a surgery. So it's just like picking up on all of the stuff.
Yeah. Like your immune system's already like focusing on healing and doing all these things. And then it's like intruder, intruder, alert, alert,
alert. Yeah. And what's really funny. So guys, I'll just be perfectly honest with you. It was a vanity surgery. 100%.
This was elective. Yeah. I don't know why the electric slide comes in my head every time I say
electric. It's elective.
I don't know. It's just there every time. Anyway.
So whenever I got this fever, I went into panic mode. Mm. I thought, oh my God, my body is going to like have sepsis and I'm going to die from my vanity.
You know what? I could definitely see your brain going there. I definitely could. You're like, I'm going to die because of a vanity surgery.
Well, remember before I had the surgery, you were like, are you worried about anything? And I was like, yes, my biggest fear is that I die on the table. And then everybody is like, oh, she was getting, plastic surgery or whatever. And that's how she died. I'm like, yeah. How do you put that on a tombstone?
I mean, for your sake, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was face lifted to God. If I would have died, that's what you would have needed to put on.
Yeah, that's what I would needed to put on. Gosh, I wish you would have told me that ahead of time. Luckily, we did not need that because I would not have been clever or witty enough to come up with that on my own. Oy.
So that was my big fear. And whenever I was like fever dreaming, I just kept going back to like, oh my God, Dana, you have wasted so much of your life scrolling on Instagram.
Aww. As you're having like this life flash before your eyes.
I mean, it doesn't help that I also had a surgery many years ago that ended in them telling me that I had a potentially terminal disease that I did not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now whenever it comes to doctors, there's a little bit of some trust issues there.
Right.
And the doctor was telling me, no, you're probably fine. And I was like, I'm dying. 100%.
I know I'm dead. I know I'm dying.
Yeah.
And I've spent all my life scrolling Instagram.
And then I would be like, how much time could I have placed in other areas?
Mm.
Like, if I wasn't in a doom scroll or comparison scroll with, you know, other people, I could have, I don't know, bought all of the ingredients to bake a cake. And then my daughter come home from school and my little baker made a treat.
Right.
Or I could have, you know, I don't know, insert any other activity here.
Right.
That you could have done to be more present.
Yeah. You know, it's like we always get more out of something than we're asking for whenever your heart and your mind are open to the lesson and the deeper understanding and the deeper meaning of things. And mm-hmm. surely you didn't go into this with the idea that you were going to have this profound revelation or this deeper understanding of yourself and your time. Yet here you are, like with all of this time to reflect and no capability of moving around or going anywhere or doing anything for yourself. And from that, like you really had this impactful revelation come up for you.
I did. And it's funny too, because you and I have talked a lot and we will probably talk in the future about duality as mm-hmm. well. And so I had this revelation and I was like, that is it. Like, I don't want to be on social media. I don't want to be doing this, this, and that. I really wanted to make a change. But with that, you also need to give yourself some compassion and grace, because changes don't happen overnight.
Right.
And so, you know, the next day I would find myself scrolling and I would be like, nope, put it down. And I would put it down and I would try and do something else. But some days are going to be better than others.
Yeah. And we got to give ourselves some grace. Right. And another thing that we talk about a lot is balance. Mm-hmm. It's not all one or the other. A lot of what we do with the podcast, a lot of what you do with your other podcast or other outlets creatively that you use on social media, that's a part of you and it's a part of your life. So walking away from that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But having balance within that so that you can on a day have a little mom and daughter time and baking and having a treat or however you want to spend your time.
I think mostly it's that I don't want to get frustrated. So it's funny because a lot of these episodes that we go into, we don't like always pre-plan what it is. Jess and I get together and we go, what's coming up for you this week?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we go. And this was something obviously that I had been like going through. And so a lot of times we kind of trip and fall into whatever subject matter that we, but I think that's what makes it authentic to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So this week we're talking about being present. And what is being present? It's being focused intently on one thing without like all the distraction.
Right. But also, I feel like another piece to add to that would be to focus on one thing that you are currently experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I could be focusing really intently on a worry or anxiety or an obtrusive thought.
Right.
That is not being present.
No, it's not.
But when I'm in that space of over-worry, overthinking, sometimes I use the skill of being present to get me back in my body and to get me out of my head. And sometimes for me, that looks like just saying, where are my feet?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, such a simple thing to say, but really when I start to focus, I'm like, okay, my feet are in my shoes. My shoes are on the ground. I am sitting in the podcastle. This is what I'm doing. And that helps me from a very simplistic place get back to where I am now and being fully present.
One of my favorite things about being present is really savoring flavors. And I know that that's like such a silly thing in life, but like food and drink and taste and texture, all of that, like it just makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, especially in the morning, like holding my mug with both hands and feeling the warmth in between there,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing it up to my mouth and feeling how that warmth transfers from here to there,
mm-hmm.
and then taking a sip and tasting the coffee and the cream that I had put into it. It's oat milk creamer, actually, that just turned me on to. And like focusing on that and like how it feels going into my mouth and then that warmth transferring down my throat and just all of that, like really paying attention,
mm-hmm.
to those little things, like that is a moment of being fully present.
So this, what you're talking about with the coffee has me thinking about something that I do with one of the girls. My oldest daughter, Shay, has a lot of trouble sleeping. We've talked about it before. And sometimes at night, she's getting like a little caught up in her head, a little trapped in her worries. And one time, just on a whim, I forget what we were doing. She always wants like a little snack before bed. Mm-hmm. And so she had some cashews. And so I was like, hey, let's play a game. And so I was like, okay, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to just trace your mouth with the cashew. And so I went through this whole thing. We were like, is it rough? Is it smooth?
Uh-huh.
Is it colder than your tongue or warmer than your tongue?
Yeah.
Is it salty? Now crack it open. Feel the inside. What does the inside of the cashew feel like? And we would just go step by step by step. And now she asks for that. At nighttime, whenever she's having a hard time falling asleep, she's like, Mom, can we do the thing with the cashews? And it just like gets her so settled. Mm-hmm. And it's such a simple thing, right?
Yeah.
But it really helps her be present in that moment. And then she's kind of able to settle in and go to bed. And these like little things that I do with the kids and this thing that you do with your coffee, it's like, why not fully? If we're going to nourish our bodies and feed our souls, why not be fully present in that moment and enjoy it? This is where joy can come from. The smallest things.
Yeah. And it's hard to do. It's really hard in our everyday lives to slow down and be fully present. I mean, one thing, our brains are going 100 miles per hour every single second of the day. Like, how often are you in your head and it's just like it doesn't stop? There's non-stop chatter, worrying about something that happened in the past, or you have to get ready for something that's coming in the future. You know, like, especially having kids, it's like, okay, well, okay, I got to get up. I got to let the dogs out. I got to make lunch. I got to wake the kids up. I got to make sure they're ready for school. I got to. And so it's not easy to wake up in the morning and be like, I'm fully present in this moment, because you have 7,000 things to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of reasons why it could be really hard. Also, in our brains, we're judging all the time.
Sure. Yeah. I think that, that is definitely a skill that requires practice.
Mm-hmm.
Turning the voice down, turning the volume down on the inner voice.
Uh-huh.
One of my very, very, very favorite books, I gift it to people like business cards. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. I think everyone should read it. It's called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
I was gifted that one.
Yes. It's a good one. Yeah. But it is just really about this realization of what is going on in the mind. One of my favorite quotes from there: there is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one that hears it. And that book was so life-changing for me. I've heard the saying, like, you are not your thoughts. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not my thoughts. But this book explained it to me in a way that was so visceral. And I was able to digest it and put it into practice. And it really helped me. And I still go back and read the book because, again, it's a practice. Mm-hmm. I've been living a certain way for, you know, maybe 38 years of my life before I read that book.
Right.
And our brains, like, they just want to go the easiest direct route that it's used to taking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to keep going that route. The brain is going to go. It's going to go. It's going to go until you tell it to stop.
Until you change those neural pathways, mm-hmm. and make them go somewhere else.
Right. Right. And so I was having a conversation with Dave the other day, and he's like, I just want, I don't know, 2 to 6 months of no stress and no worries. And I was like, I hear you. And he said some other things that he wanted to. And he was like, but, you know, the stress and worries thing is like the hardest one. And I was like, actually, I think that's the easiest one. And he's like, well, that's easy for you to say, because I'm the one that has to worry about our finances and paying the bills and this and that. And I'm like, that is your responsibility to our family. That is an area in which you support us. Mm-hmm. But worrying about it is a choice.
That is a choice.
Stressing about it is a choice. Mm-hmm. The way you interact with that responsibility is a choice.
Well, like the caveman needed to eat. He had a responsibility to go out and, you know, bring home the bacon or moose or whatever the hell he was bringing home.
Right.
But being stressed about that.
He wasn't sitting in his cave pacing back and forth, ruminating, oh, God, I got to get food. What am I going to do? I have to get food today. What? It's the winter. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be food. Oh, my God. Like, think of the amount of energy that this person is expending just in thought alone. It depletes your physical energy.
Well, and think about how often we're in a conversation with somebody and, I don't know, they say, I don't know, something and it makes your brain go, ugh, I forgot. They say eggs and you're like, oh, shit, I forgot. I need eggs at home. Okay, so I need to go to the grocery store. Da, 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 and they're still talking. Your brain has completely gone off the rails because they said a word that triggered a thought that made you go off the rails with it. Instead of being like, oh, I know I have a thought. I'm going to have to put that on the back burner while I continue to focus on this conversation.
Right.
Our brains are so easily distracted.
And let's be real. Everything is fighting for our attention.
Yeah.
And so our little human brains are like the salesman's dream. You know, it's like, oh, I want one. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want this, you know? And so it's easy to distract us until you enter the exercise or the practice of remaining focused, remaining present, and intentionally choosing and noticing when you're not and choosing to go back. And that's building those new neural pathways.
Yeah. Well, so one thing that I've always taken pride in, I'm sure you have too. It was beat into us from, and this is generations, not just from, you know, our parents, but women are so good at multitasking.
Right.
Well, if I'm so good at multitasking, that means that I'm really bad at being present.
Exactly.
Because I have to, because I'm doing 17 things at once. If I'm doing 17 things at once, that means that I cannot fully focus and pay attention to one thing at a time. How shitty is that?
Yeah, you know, and this is like the process of unbatting for us is like realizing these patterns and these generational ideas that have been put into us and with good intent, right?
Yeah.
We come from generations of women who had to multitask and were pretty damn good at it. And they did a lot and they did it well. But that also has its consequences.
And I think it has a lot to do with what your goal is. Mm-hmm. If my goal is to be the CEO of fucking Google, then yeah, I'm going to need to know how to multitask. If my goal is to like calm my mind and be present and lessen my anxiety and soothe my racing thoughts, well, yeah, multitasking is not for me then.
So let's talk about that though. We talked a little bit about duality and we talked earlier about that. But if you're the CEO of Google, I hope that you make time for yourself to slow down and be present and calm your mind and calm your racing thoughts, because there's a time and a place for multitasking. And that can also have a time and a place for quieting the mind and being present so that when you are multitasking, you're doing it well.
Yeah, totally. And that goes back to the goals, because you can have two different goals at different times, right?
Right.
It's like right now I need to focus on being CEO. And then in 3 hours when I'm at home, I need to focus on being mom. And then when it's bedtime, I need to focus on calming and doing the things.
Right.
Or, you know, like it's all about what your goal is in that moment.
And I love that. That's such a good way to paint the picture. It's like, we are multifaceted. We can do so many things, but being present in the one thing that you're doing, instead of making yourself so thin, that you're not doing anything well. If you're giving yourself these like chunks of time to be fully present in your job, to be fully present as a mom when you come home, to be fully present with yourself at bedtime. That's not like really common culture,
yeah.
But I feel like with practice, it can be a part of your daily routine. Like, okay, this is the time where I give to myself. This is the time where I give to my kids. This is the time where I give to my job. And I really feel like that's like life balance.
It is. Yes. I've noticed too many times, and honestly, it like makes me a little ashamed of myself, where I don't know, looking something up for the show, or I'm trying to find a good trending reel so that I could do, you know, whatever to grow on Instagram or something. And my daughter will come to me and she'll be like, Mom, can we practice this? Or can you watch me do that? And I'm like, ugh, oh my God, just like, hold on a second, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
because whenever you are multitasking, have you noticed your inability to control your emotions? Have you noticed that when you are trying to do the dishes or make dinner and a child or your husband or somebody interrupts that,
mm-hmm.
that you immediately get frustrated and it's harder for people to regulate their emotions while they're multitasking?
Do you think that's personal or do you think that's across the board?
I think that's across the board. I didn't write it down, but I was reading about it earlier.
Oh, okay.
And it is like multitasking. For most people, it makes it harder to regulate your emotions.
Yeah, I would say that one of my biggest triggers as a mother is whenever I'm being interrupted or I'm trying to, let's even say I'm trying to cook breakfast for my kids.
Uh-huh.
If they're in my way, I'm like,
ugh. Yeah,
like I lose my breath. Mm-hmm. I'm like, get out of the kitchen.
Yes.
Just move.
Yes.
It feels really hard because I'm cooking breakfast and cooking is multitasking, you know? I've got a lot going on in the brain. But
trying to make sure your kids don't touch the stove in the middle of it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I can see how that multitasking makes it so hard to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And to what you were saying before about, like, your daughter interrupting while you're, like, mid-scroll or trying to do something – all our kids want is our attention.
I know.
That's like, mm-hmm. that's all they want is our attention. And so can we give them all of our attention all the time? No. Is it even good for them? No. They can't have all our attention all the time. It's just not realistic. And our kids would have the biggest egos ever.
Yeah. And to that point, it's okay to be like, I gave you attention for 7 hours today. And right now I'm going to take time for myself.
Right.
Please go the fuck upstairs.
Go to bed. But it does seem like they just want the attention right in the most inconvenient moment.
Always. Because your focus went somewhere else.
Right.
And they're like, excuse me, wait a minute.
Right.
I'm going to need you to look at me. I saw you look away and I am not okay with that.
And what is the message that we're giving them in that moment? This thing, this laundry, this scroll, this text I'm sending for work
uh-huh.
is more important than you right now.
Yeah.
I had heard somebody share a story about going into their parents' room at night. It was like her dad and stepmom, and she had a bad dream. And my ears perked up because my kids come into my room all the time with bad dreams. And she went in one time with a bad dream, and they said, you're fine. Go back to bed.
Mm.
Changed her life.
How?
Like, just never feeling, like, important enough or loved enough or worthy enough or that she could speak up for herself because of this one thing that happened.
Yeah.
And that makes me so much more aware of what I'm doing with my kids. Because I will say, my kids, Jordan's a decent sleeper. Shay has been a terrible sleeper all of her life.
Yeah.
I have not had consistent sleep for 8 years.
Yeah.
It wears on a person.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm a gremlin at night when they wake me up.
So am I. Yeah. And I've noticed, too, that if you interrupt my sleep, and I don't care who you are, you're my husband, you're my kids, you're a dog, I don't care what it is. I snap immediately. I don't know what the mechanics behind it is because I don't even realize I'm doing it. It's just like if I am like pulled from sleep, I immediately am like, it just is. Like I am the Hulk.
Yeah.
The second you wake me up. So that's interesting. It's also, we can try and do our best to make sure that we aren't giving our kids something to like focus on when they're adults. Like, oh, like that changed her life. They said, you're fine, go to bed. And that was like something that changed for her. But there's always going to be something.
Well, that's the human experience, right?
Yes.
It's the soul's journey. It's the growth. We didn't come here unscathed to live an unscathed, perfect life. And that's one of the things that really helped me on my parenting journey.
Yeah.
Was just understanding that my kids' experience is going to be their experience. And they have to have challenges in their life.
Yeah.
They have to build resilience. They have to learn the lessons that their soul came here to learn.
Yep.
And I am a part of that in many ways. And some of it will be really great and some of it will be not so great.
Yeah.
But it's a part of the human experience. It just is what it is. There's nothing, there's no amount of perfection I can give as a parent that will change that.
No, not at all. It's just giving love. As long as they feel love, more love than anything else, then I feel like that's a success.
Yeah, I agree.
So another thing that really interrupts us being present, our phones are notifying us 100% of the time, all day long. Oh, you got an email, ding. You got a text message, ding. Social media is going off, ding, 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 ding. And that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to draw our attention away.
Right.
And it works.
It does work. It definitely works. And what I say to that is you're the driver.
Totally.
You have control over that.
Some people do. And I think that there needs to be boundaries, though, right? Because there are some people that for work, they need to have their phones on.
Mm-hmm.
There are first responders that are on call that, you know, need to have their ringers on or, you know, and then maybe spam is calling or, you know, whatever it might be.
So my husband is like, was the king of notifications. He also tends to run a bit on the anxious side.
Uh-huh.
Natural disasters really get to him. However, he has this app on his phone that tells him about every earthquake that ever happens anywhere in the world.
I wonder why he's so afraid of them.
I don't know. It's just a thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I said to him, why do you do that to yourself?
Uh-huh.
That's a choice. Why do you have those notifications come? Because you go in this little area of your phone. It's called notification center.
And
you get to choose which ones are important and which ones are not important. He had to choose that earthquake feed was important enough to send his heart racing multiple times throughout the week.
Right.
Now, earthquakes happen all the time.
Yes, they. I mean, even like a 2.3 on the Richter scale.
All the time. Not even just in the U.S.
Yeah.
All over the world. Mm-hmm. The big world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a constant reminder. I'm not safe. I'm not safe. I'm not safe. I'm not safe. So when I said you're the driver, we have autonomy of choosing what notifications we want and don't want.
Yes.
If I want to go on social media, I can go on social media and choose to see what the notifications are. Or I can allow social media to intrude my thoughts on a daily basis.
To tell you when you need to know what the notifications are. Like
exactly.
Somebody liked your post. You need to know this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or so-and-so went live. This person posted a new reel. That person did whatever. If being present is a skill that you want to hone in on, and if your phone is one of those things that's always fighting for your attention, go in your notification center.
Yep.
Give yourself a mental break. You can also silence notifications during certain time periods.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's 2 hours before bed so that you don't catch yourself in a doom scroll or whatever. we cannot fall victim to these things because we have a choice in the matter.
We do. And reducing distractions is definitely a way to be more present. And reducing distractions isn't just your phone. It's the TV, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many distractions in our world all the time. And being able to, if you want to be more present, playing a game with your husband, I'm going to say, because I like to play Yahtzee, then turning off the TV is probably a good way to do that. That, I mean, one of the reasons they say don't have a TV in your bedroom, because it'll ruin your sex life, right?
Yeah.
Get rid of the distraction so that you can focus on the other parts, if that's what you so choose. Or if you want to have like a good conversation, turning your phone upside down and pushing it away during dinner time. I was reading a thing that said, like, if you're not enjoying your breakfast, you're like listening to a podcast or whatever, turn off the podcast. Have a silent breakfast where you are just sitting and focusing on the food that you are nourishing yourself with. Mm-hmm. And it's just you and your thoughts and your breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. And could you imagine if you were able to direct your thoughts also in that time? And it wasn't just like a bee buzzing around from here and there and everywhere. If you decided this is the time where I'm going to sit down and I am going to affirm myself in all ways.
Uh-huh.
How nice would that be to start your day?
It would be so nice. I will definitely say one of my biggest problems is I know what I want to do. I know what I have to do. I know that I can do it. I have a hard time pushing myself over the edge to do it. It's like exercising. I hate lifting weights. I'll do cardio all day long. Lifting weights kill me. I don't want to do it.
The world never surprises me from our yin and yang, ever. If there is one thing that Dana loathes, you best believe I love it, and vice versa. I'm like, don't make me walk or run anywhere, but let me lift some heavy shit. I'll be good.
Yeah. And I'm like, I will walk 20 miles if you want me to. But if you tell me I have to lift that 5-pound dumbbell.
You know, you've never really loved to lift heavy stuff.
No.
Ugh.
Even though I know it's good for me. Right. I am an aging woman.
You got to lift heavy shit.
You won't be able to tell from my face in the future. But I am, in fact, aging.
It's elective.
And so I know that lifting is actually what is better for my body at this point.
Right.
Cardio did me fine in my 20s.
Right.
But now if I want to have a stronger body that lasts a longer period of time, I have to fucking lift shit.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like talking myself into doing it. Once I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm fine. After I'm done, yay, I did it. I'm so proud of myself.
Rinse and repeat the next day.
I will talk myself out of it. I will find every excuse in the book. I will sit there and doom scroll on Instagram and be like, whoops, missed the window. You know, like it's just something that I have to. But being mindful is also being present. To be more present, there's mindful breathing, movement, eating. There's so many mindful activities that you can do that increase you being present in that moment.
Yeah, I think that really you can be mindful in any situation. You and I like to talk about like different seeds that we plant for the kids, and mindfulness is one of the things that I plant seeds for with them. And it sounds a little something like, instead of being like, be careful, there is a edge there, I don't want you to slip and fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, be mindful of your surroundings.
Uh-huh.
Just little ways to remind them and me that being in your body and present is a way of being mindful.
Yeah.
My oldest one is like a bumper. She bumps into things. And I'm like, I can tell she's not in her body because she's bumping into walls. Right. She's stubbing her toe on everything. She's if you're walking into walls and bumping into things and you are clumsy, it's a good chance that you are really heady.
Yeah, you're in your head. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. So getting back in the body, that body movement, body breathing, or mindful movement, mindful breathing
yeah.
are all ways to stay present and get back in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that we will benefit from by practicing being present?
I think that it's so important. I mean, one of my biggest reasons for trying to be more present is to just have better relationships, whether that's a better relationship with myself, a better relationship with my husband, a better relationship with my children. Like, I want them to know that I care by being present while they're speaking to me. If I'm at my son's volleyball game, I want to be fully invested in watching his volleyball game and not constantly picking up my phone to be distracted by something else.
Yeah.
If my daughter wants to play a game or practice her lines for a play, or I want to be fully focused on doing those things that whenever she gets older, she's going to remember. If I am constantly distracted by other things and not being completely present, she's going to remember that too.
Yeah. And speaking of remembering, something that comes up for me is that I really struggle with remembering things. Uh-huh. And I wonder how much of that is because I'm not fully present in what I'm doing.
That is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
How do you remember something if you weren't fully present for it?
Right.
I mean, our brains are already crazy. They already make stuff up, insert things here. Like, it's like going to a crime scene and asking all the witnesses what they saw, and every single person's going to tell you something a little bit different.
It's very creative.
Yes. So if we're also adding to that, that we're not completely present, we're not completely focused, then yeah, how are we supposed to remember that? At least not accurately.
Yeah, like it's very spotty, bits and pieces. Uh-huh. But you know, as our children grow and as I get older in my life, like, these memories are what I cherish.
Yeah.
You know, having old memories, making new memories, I want to remember those things. And I think that being more mindful about where I'm at when I'm in a moment, my hope is that that'll help me retain some of those memories.
I definitely have memories, and I remember when I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted here, but I'm trying to say is that I definitely have memories of when I was being very mindful. When Mason was just a couple of months old, I remember sitting on my couch in the middle of the fucking night, and I was so tired, and I was breastfeeding him and looking down at him. And I just remember, like, thinking to myself, like, remember this moment, you know, like, really pay attention to it, because he's going to get older and it's, and then you're going to cry on a podcast. But I do, like, I do remember that moment, and I try and do that more throughout life, like going on a nice vacation or going on a hike, taking in the scenery, doing like those very mindful things where you can say, oh, just really remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kid's 18 now, and I really remember that.
Yeah. And it's like a feelings photo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like capturing that feeling in a moment and just keeping it
yeah.
so that you can refer back to it in this moment. Like, you felt everything in this moment that you felt 18 years ago when you were nursing your first baby.
My first baby. I know, I always tell him, you were my first love.
No.
Don't tell anybody else that, but you were.
He really was.
He was.
He really was.
And so another reason that being present is so important is just like that, savoring experiences, because our brains aren't going to, there's so many hours and seconds in our lives, we're not going to be able to remember all of those things. you remember the ones that you savor.
That's right. And unfortunately, memories also have a tendency to stand out if they're negative.
So
you might reflect on your life or a period of time and notice that there's a lot of negative ones. And so if we know that our brains are kind of pre-wired to hold on to a negative experience, then balance that with the mindfulness of a positive experience and take that feelings photo and be intentional about wanting to capture this moment and being able to like recall this feeling at another time. Because ultimately that is going to, that will put me on a more optimistic, positive trajectory.
Yeah, because when something bad happens, it's so painful that you don't have to remind yourself to remember that feeling, because then you're in fight or flight for the rest of your life over that particular feeling. But if you force yourself to remember the good stuff that gives you that same big feeling, but on the good spectrum.
Right.
Then it's there. And I like that idea of, you know, rewiring to make sure that those are just as important, more important.
Yeah.
That your body isn't going automatically to the bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. So another thing that has been really helpful for me and a benefit for me about being present is the reduction in stress and anxiety.
Yes. And we talk about, I mean, there's so many things that you can do to reduce stress and anxiety, but being mindful and present really reduces those racing thoughts that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're being present at 3 a.m., you know, you can't go to sleep, or 11, whatever time it is for you. Being in your body, like you were talking about with the cashews.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me, and apparently this is a whole method that I didn't know about. My friend Stephanie told me that you start at the top of your head and you tighten and loosen all of your muscles, starting from the top of your head all the way down to your toes.
Like physically contracting them or energetically feeling it? Okay.
And so I have been doing that before bed.
Do you get to your toes?
I get to my toes, but then I fall asleep instantly.
Hmm.
And it's just because I took the time to not let my brain race. Mm-hmm. I focused on tightening my forehead and then my eyes and ears and mouth and throat and going the whole way down. You're so focused, present in that, that your brain's ready for bed now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not racing. It's not thinking about that dumbass thing that you said to the waitress in 2003.
Right. And that's that thing about that freaking book that I loved so much. It was just giving me the understanding that I control my brain.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the driver's seat. I get to actually control it. And when I'm doing something that doesn't feel good in there, like worrying, ruminating, stressing, I can say, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I choose to focus on this. I'm going to put that behind me. Detaching from the thought is so powerful.
That is a good word, because we do attach ourselves to certain things. So being able to interrupt that.
Yeah. Sometimes visualization really helps me with that. So if I have something that I'm really stuck on that's going to go over and over, I visualize that thought or idea on a bubble or a balloon or a bubble, something that's floating. And I'll either watch it float all the way into the sky till I can't see it anymore, or maybe a bubble come up and I'll just pop it with my finger mentally in my brain. And that's just like a nice way to like say, okay, I saw you and now you can go.
Yes. See, I'm going to have to try something like that. I did like the one that Cynthia told us on the last episode that we did with her about like making it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller in your head and then tossing it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many different ways to do all the things. Wow. I'm so happy that we're back.
I know. I missed us.
I missed us too. This was fun. very present in our moment, guys. I hope that you didn't miss us too much. That's a lie. I hope you missed the hell out of us and that you're so happy that we're back. guys, if you could do us a favor, we are just returning from our 3 weeks off. So, you know, doing a rate and review would really help push us in those algorithms. If you're watching this on YouTube, leaving a comment and our social media. I know we have listeners that like some things. Maybe you haven't even followed us yet. If you haven't, go to Instagram at unbatting, a like and a comment, a save, a share. Those all help push us out a little bit further to maybe somebody else that didn't know that they need us in their lives yet.
But they do.
But they do.
All right, everybody. We missed you. We're happy to be back, and we're happy that you're back with us. Until next time.
We're unbatting, baby.
Unbatting. Unbatting. We're unbatting, baby. A journey, baby. Bedding. We're on batting, baby. Bedding. We're on batting.